Take your Bible now and turn to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28. And we're going to read verse number 9 and go to the end of the chapter. It'll say these words. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says this, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Verse 11. "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Greetings, church family. It's a blessing for us to be with you again today. Privilege to be able to have a Bible that we can open and be able to see the Word of God. Having the Holy Spirit that's present, the third person of Godhead. And we want to be able to look at a portion of Scripture this morning. It's very, very important. Jesus made his appearance 40 days after the resurrection, and he preached and poured out his heart as to what he wanted done until he would come back for the true living church. And we want to be able to look at something this morning that we have seen before, but in greater depths. So it's a blessing for us to be able to open God's Word to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, looking at verses 9 through 20. And let us pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Thank you, Father, for this day. What a great day to be alive, to have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit that would take the Word of God and show unto us. We ask now that you would bind Satan and his host, give your word free course in our midst. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts and cause us, Lord, to be able to do the job that you call us to do. We give you the praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme that God has placed upon my heart over the last week to be able to look at this portion over and over, he has a message that he wants us to be able to embrace. The theme: one great event, two stories, one a great lie, the other the great truth. Two stories, one event, real event. The most important event forever. And in this portion, you're going to be able to see two stories. One event. And one of the stories is the great lie. Mark that down. Write it down. The great lie. And these two messages depend upon my eternity and your eternity. One of these you must believe. And if you believe the great lie, you're doomed forever. It's only two. The greatest lie, and you will see that in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 28. Look at verse 13. Saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. What a lie. What a lie. Now, if you understand the laws of the Roman government of that time, it was a death sentence to be able to sleep on duty. And those soldiers wouldn't have gone to sleep. They would have done everything they possibly could to stay awake. Now, they are being paid to tell the greatest lie on themselves. And of course, the leaders gave them a great sum of money to tell this lie. So it says, tell them, tell the world, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. You need a better excuse than that, because if the governor find out, they did everything humanly possible to be able that Jesus would not be stolen out of the tomb. If you are put into the heart of Stone Mountain, as a granite stone, and a door is packed, locked, socket, there's no way you can be able to get out unless you're God. These soldiers saw how this was sealed. Government sealed. Stone was so heavy, you couldn't just push it open. It had to be a miracle. Now, how were the disciples going to come and steal Jesus out of the tomb? You know, Jesus says Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And if he can get you to believe a little lie, he'll be able to get you to believe what? A big lie. The disciples came and stole him out while we slept. Look at verse 14. And if it comes to the governor's ear, You're sleeping on duty. We will appease him and make you secure. Bribery. All the devil does is to bribe you to go to hell. He knows he doesn't have anything to offer, so he will bribe you and give you things and make you think that you have something when you have absolutely nothing. He's a liar. And each person that is not saved today, right now, is in danger of going to hell unless they believe the great truth. And Satan is paying and helping you hold on to the great lie. All he has to offer is a great lie. Now, one great event, and that was Jesus being raised from the dead. He had promised it from Genesis 3:15 through Malachi and to the day he was raised after 3 days. Jesus promised this great event. And he also said what would happen. So he said, one great event, two stories. Now, if you want to believe the first story, in hell you will lift your eyes up. Okay? You can believe the first story. Those that are embracing cults and isms and false teaching and all these kind of things, they are candidates for hell. There's no other hope. They have believed the lie. And they have swallowed the bait. And they will go to the lake of fire and hell. The big lie, the great lie, will take you to hell. Now, this is important. This has been important, very important. You can embrace false religion, cults, isms, and all these kind of things, and hope that you can be able to make it. You are believing a lie, and in hell you will lift your eyes. There's no other course. You either believe the lie or the great truth. And this is what you find here. Now, the five things we want to be able to examine. Number one, the guards at the tomb. Now, the guards at the tomb was real. The high priest and those with him had went to the governor and said, this Jesus promised to be able to come back alive. So to keep from that lie being told by the Christians, by the disciples, we want you to be able to put a security guard there so that this lie from coming from the disciples would not get out, that Jesus is going to get up. But Jesus said, I'm going to rise again. He said that over and over. He said it. And they said, we're going to make certain that that will not be the case. Well, the soldiers knew that. Around the clock, they were wide awake watching the tomb. They did the job, did it well. Now, it's secure. On the first day of the week, Sunday, Jesus, that had promised that he would rise again, As Jonah was at 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the heart of the earth, and he will rise. He said it. I'm going to Galilee, and I will meet you there. I will see you again. Guarantee. The resurrection came early on Sunday morning. Earthquake came and shook the tomb to show us that Jesus was not in there, because he didn't need the door to be open for him to get out, because he's God. He can walk through Stone Mountain. He can walk in fire. I mean, there's nothing to keep him from, but he used the earthquake for us to be able to see that he was not in there. So the resurrection took place. Notice, then the 11, well, let me back up. So they took the money, and as they were instructed, and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews, not only the Jews, unto this day. This is Satan's hold on everybody that have not received Jesus Christ. His hold is, he didn't get up from the grave. This is a lie. Jesus is not alive. He didn't get up. He told a lie. But did he? But this is commonly, this is the only reason that you won't go to heaven, because you believe this lie that he didn't get up. And you better run someplace and get saved soon. For this is a lie. He got up. The resurrection meaning that he did what he promised. And destroyed his temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Guarantee. And if you're truly born again, you're going to live eternity. And if you believe the lie, you will be in hell in eternity. This is the message. The resurrection is real. Let's look at it. Then the 11, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And it doesn't say, and when they got there, they were disappointed. Jesus can't lie. God can't lie. He said, meet me in Galilee at the mountain that I have shown you. And they were there. And they walked around and they looked sad, this kind of thing, and said, well, perhaps, you see, he's not going to come today. No, no. Jesus doesn't lie. He can't lie. He's truth. So notice, it says, go to Galilee, to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. These 11 men were there, and two more. When they saw him, John says, we handled him. They put their hand on Jesus. They touched him. You don't touch ghosts. They touched Jesus. They handled him, the word of life. How many have touched the devil? He's an evil spirit. How many have seen him? But Jesus is real. Notice, when they saw him, laid their eyes on him, they worshiped him. They laid their hands on him, and the sisters fell down on their feet, and they held him by the feet. Jesus held him. Real. They saw him. They worshiped him. But there you had some did not believe, really, he was alive. And if they were not born again, and held their, would lift their eyes. But those that worshiped him believed him. They held him. They knew he was real. So the guards at the tomb was real. The resurrection was real. Now, Satan says, I got to be able to keep people from believing in Jesus Christ, and I need a stronghold, and the stronghold that he had, it was this report, and go back up to verse 13, and here's verse 15. See, verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. In other words, this is the only thing that, well, they stole Jesus. All they got to hold on to is a lie. And somebody says a bold-faced lie. Lie! Now, Satan can only tell a lie. And the lie is that Jesus was not raised from the dead. That's all he can say. That's all he can say. And he will hold you if you don't believe the truth. That Jesus was not raised from the dead. Now let's look at what the great truth is. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Spoke. Face to face. Have you any fish? Have you any bread? Have you caught anything? Have you caught anything? Jesus was talking. Do you believe that he was talking? The scripture said so. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. You know what Jesus is saying? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all the power, wherever you see it, whatever was created, the universe, solar system, everything that you see, I made it. Oh. That's what he said. All authority. And when Jesus says the devil is lying, the devil is lying, because Jesus is the only one that made everything. Now, he didn't make the devil a liar, but he permitted him to be a liar. And Jesus said so. He's a liar and the father of lies. And when he tell a lie, he tell his own. So, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All that you see on earth. All that you see on earth. All mean all. False God, what have you made? There's nothing you made. All power is in Jesus' hand. He made everything in heaven. He made everything on earth. And he's the one who said, if you don't receive him, you inhale, you lift your eyes. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, since all in heaven and on earth, all is under my control and my power, I say unto you, unless you be born again, as you said to Nicodemus, you shall perish. You must be born again. You have to be. You have to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. You have to. There's no other hope. That's the great truth. He's alive. He's real. He's truth. He's the way. He's alive. Now he said, go therefore and make disciples. This message must be told to everybody. There's no other message that's worthwhile. Only one message. Jesus is alive and the Savior of the world. That's it. He said, now I want you to go therefore and make disciples. Tell them. Keep on telling them. Make them followers of all the nations. All the nations. That's our job. To get the gospel out to everybody. So I don't want it. That's not your problem. You must get the message out. You must tell them, if you don't get it out, the greatest lie is that you're going to hell. You're going to roast. That's what he says. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Trinity, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl must hear the truth. And God's going to see to it. Nobody will leave this world without being able to hear the truth. Somehow or another, God has a way of everybody hearing the truth. You're going to hear that he is the only way. Somehow or another. Now Satan is spreading his lies. There is no God. And he tried to give you consolation. He tried to bribe you by letting you join a club and all this kind of thing. But the truth of it is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what we should be excited about right now. We got a lot of folks excited about the election and this kind of thing. That's the duty that we have, the privilege. But that's not what we should be excited about. Excitement is being with God forever through Jesus Christ. And we should be so glad getting that gospel out, telling everybody about Jesus Christ, everybody in this neighborhood, everybody, everywhere. Does God want everybody here? Yes, everybody. That's what he says. Look at it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit enters into you and seals you unto the day of redemption. You cannot be lost. Now, you can go to the finest ism, religion, and be a part of great ceremonies and these kind of things, but if you're not born again, in hell you will lift your eyes up. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. Hell is real. And you will go there unless you believe the great truth. And the great truth is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he says, teaching them That's why we have Atlanta Bible Baptist Church and the other church that teach the Word of God and not ism, not Buddhism, not Mormonism, not ism. We're teaching Jesus the only way. It was no accident that Billy Graham, the great evangelist of yesteryears, would always say, Jesus. Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I commanded you to come together as a people. I commanded you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I commanded you, and you come talking about segregation and all these kind of things. That's your stuff. That's not my stuff. I told you that the church is one. And we got a whole lot of mess that God didn't say. But he says here, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I have commanded you to love your neighbor. I commanded you. That's what God told us to do. Every life matters to God. He said, I want you to go and get them, all nations, every person. And if you do it God's way, he said, if you do it my way, lo, I am with you. You trying to get the gospel out? I'm with you. I don't care how far it's in the wilderness. I don't care what, if you're trying to do what God says, I'll make it possible for you to do it. When we first came to Atlanta back in 1964, and we were going out knocking on doors and having Bible classes in various parts of the city, you had people that would tell me, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy. We got enough churches. Why do you think we need another one? But I wasn't into churches. I was into souls being saved, being born again, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that you're going to heaven. I wasn't trying to be to just get people to come into a building. I want you to be born again, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's been my ministry, teaching people to know when you were born again. How? Not doing the best you can. Jesus died, he was buried, and he's coming again. He says, if you're doing that, I am with you always. 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 And I pray and hope that this church will never cease from going after people, making certain that they're born again. No liberalism and all this kind of thing. You know what it was raised up for. To teach people Jesus the way, the truth, and life. He is the only way. And the Bible is a textbook from Genesis to Revelation. 66 book is our text. And I believe the whole Bible, and I believe the cover because it said they're holy. God. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it that Jesus Christ is the truth. Don't let anybody tell you anything other than that. Jesus, the truth. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's going to come a day when you won't have to witness no more. everybody be in that's going to be saved. But until that time come, if anybody have never heard the gospel, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to see to it that they hear. Anybody around you that don't know the Lord, you better run to them. It's your fault. If you're saved, you're responsible. That's your job. On your job, in school, or whatever. Look at it. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The Great Commission is, do what I tell you to do. Our job is the fifth thing. Our job is to go. Keep on going. When shall you stop? When you're in the presence of the Lord. When it is over. When you're in the presence of the Lord. And you can be able to say, well done. Now you can change places. But the job is still wherever you are to tell people about Jesus Christ. And don't forget that. Well, in closing, the greatest lie that's told by Satan, his disciples came at night and stole him away as we slept. What a lie. Truth, Jesus is alive forevermore. Once again, Jesus impressed that upon me. Make certain that people understand these two stories. One's a great lie, the other is the great truth. Call it out. He said, well, if I tell it like that, I won't have any friend. You better tell him what the Bible says. Better tell him what the Bible says. See, God so loves us. So loves us. He loves us so much he wants to be with us forever. Think about that. He loved us so much, he wanted us to be with him forever. And you know what you're going to be able to see as you look at the face of the Lord, if you look back? Those that rejected him and accepted the lie, you're going to be able to see their corpse in a lake of fire, burning forever. And ever. Why? They didn't believe the great truth. They believed the great lie. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, how we thank you that your word is truth. You carried out everything that you said. You fulfilled everything. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, that we would go and share with people everywhere that we go, at home, neighborhood, job. You said it, Lord. Go, keep on going. Keep on going. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.